Well, good morning, everybody. I was asking Pastor Andrew how much time I've got. Because I was in Melbourne last Sunday, and I was just telling them that in Africa we use the sun. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. So we stop preaching when it's dark. How is that? I said that in America and somebody screamed at the back and said, "You are not in Africa." I'm like, no, that's just a joke. But seriously, it's a joy and a privilege for me to be here this morning. I am so, so, so glad. And I'm so happy to see my African, I feel at home. Yeah. Yeah, so, so good. This is a wonderful church. I loved the worship was powerful. Yeah, you really, really blessed us. Yeah, I see the Lord using you mightily in leading worship. You are authentic. I've been a worship leader. I served as a worship pastor for many years, full time. A church was like 10,000 people, and we're on television. And so I know when people are worshiping for the cameras and when they are worshiping for the audience of one. All right? And you are that worships just because you love God. So keep it up and stay planted in this house, because with such a strong gift, there'll be voices saying, "Come to this big church. You will shine here." But you see, God blesses you on account of where he has planted you. Right, yeah, so I thought that's just a word of encouragement for you in Jesus' name. I want to thank Pastor Andrew. And like you have heard, Pastor Andrew and Pastor Virginia and I come very long way. I call him my pastor. You're right. Every pastor needs a pastor. No matter how anointed, no matter how, you need another pastor. And he is a man that I look up to. Him and Pastor Virginia have walked with me in many seasons, some hard times and some good times, I just love them dearly. And so you are blessed to have them around. You know, people like this, I pray that the Lord gives them very long life. Because you see, society needs them. You know, society needs them. The Bible says you have many instructors, but not many fathers. You know, this is a father right here. And that's, Pastor Virginia is a Sarah, a mother of many. You know, so we celebrate you so much. And Pastor Daz and Sister Louisa, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for risking to have me. Going by the testimony of Pastor Andrew, he can come, and here we are. And I think it's, you won't be disappointed, as I came with the Bible. It's not the Quran, it's just the Holy Bible. It's written Holy Bible, so it's okay. Pastor Jamie, thank you. And your dear wife?
Ezra.
I know the name. Hey, don't go ahead of me. All right? I know Sister Ezra very well, and Pastor Jamie. I'm not meeting them for the first time. But the reason I paused was because the way you played drums was amazing. So it was not about the name, it was about the drums. All right, so keep it up. That's very, very powerful. Drums are very prophetic. They make a statement in the spiritual realm. All right? All right, and the entire eldership of this church, the leadership, thank you for having me. It's a joy for Russell and I to be here. Brother Russell is one of our leaders at El Shaddai, so he travels with me. Wherever I go preaching, he comes with me just to make sure that I stick to time. All right? All right. I want you to turn to your neighbor, if you don't mind. I'm a very interactive speaker. So if I hit a certain point and it resonates in your heart, the word amen means so be it. Amen. All right? So you say amen. In other words, you are simply saying, let it be according to the word. Amen. That's what amen means. Amen? Okay, oh, well, the amens are going. But make sure you say it at the right point, all right? See, I come from a Baptist church. My background was Baptist, all right? So we learned this. And so if you said amen at the wrong point, then somebody would be like, what are we saying amen to, Pastor? All right? So for example, if I say, ouch, you can't say amen. What's there to say amen for? You know? But if I say, God is good, now you get the use of amen. So I really want you to say amen when it's right, because you are simply saying, I believe it, and so shall it be in my life. In Jesus' mighty name. So turn to your neighbor if you don't mind, and tell them, you shall cross over to the other side. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. Tell somebody you love, all right? Somebody you love, tell them you will cross over to the other side. Okay, now say it to somebody you just tolerate and say, we will cross over to the other side. So that's my sermon today. You shall cross over to the other side. Mark chapter number 4, verse 35 to 41. It's a very familiar passage of scripture, which we have all read many times. But I believe that the Lord would want us to learn something in the fact that God has a destiny for each one of us. And at times the storms do come, but the good news is that you will cross over to the other side. So Mark chapter number 4, and I read from verse 35 to 41. If you have it on the screen, we can have it. If not, I have it. All right? The Bible says, I read from the New King James Version, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, this is Jesus Christ, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. Verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern. He was at the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, in the name above every name, we thank you that your word is already anointed. I now pray that you anoint these lips of clay, that as I speak your word, let it come with power and signs and wonders following. And we vow to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You shall cross over to the other side. Amen. Now, I've got a few points and then we'll be done. Number one is that God's word shall never return void. God's word shall never return void. It shall always accomplish that which it has been sent for. Why am I saying that? I want you to understand that Jesus Christ says to the people here, Let us cross over to the other side. Verse number 35 there says, on the same day. Which day? This is that same day when he gathered and spoke to the multitudes. And he was tired. And as it was getting a little late, he tells the people, the Bible says, when evening had come, he said to them, now, let us cross over to the other side. So it is that same day that Jesus Christ tells the people, we have preached enough here. Thank you for listening to us, but it's now time for us to cross over. He tells his disciples, let's get in the boat and let's cross over to the other side. God's word will never return void. And I want you to know Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. So whatever Jesus says, it's approved by God the Father. In fact, he says, I cannot say or do anything except that which my Father in heaven tells me to do. So these words are actually the words of the Savior himself. Now listen, he does not say, let us try to get over to the other side. He doesn't say, if the weather permits, we shall cross over to the other side. No. He simply said, let us cross over to the other side. Which means, ladies and gentlemen, crossing over was not a wish. It was not a hope. He didn't say, I hope we can cross over to the other side. No. Yesterday I was reading that, all the flights, local flights, regional flights from Auckland Airport were cancelled because of the fog. All right, so they only resumed flying a little later after the fog had cleared. So which means the people at the airline, they were saying, we are hoping that we will be able to take off if the weather permits, if the fog clears. Ladies and gentlemen, the command of Jesus has no consideration for climatic conditions. He simply says, let us cross over to the other side. In other words, it was a prophetic declaration. So if Jesus says we are crossing over to the other side, it doesn't matter what the weather seems. It doesn't matter what storms. The storm is not your ending. It may be an interruption, but it's not going to interrupt God's plan. That's important. So God's word is stronger than the waves. Why is this word very relevant for us? I believe that sitting here this morning are people that have a dream to accomplish something. In other words, you are where you are, but God is saying, look, I've got something else for you. I have something bigger for you. In other words, you are moving from where you are to another level. You are crossing over to another point. You are crossing over to the other side. Everybody here has the other side that God wants you to go. But there's hindrances. But God sent me to tell you this morning, you will cross over. And as a church, I believe that you are in a season where you will cross over to the other side. As we came in here, Pastor Daz was showing us, you know, the diagrams of the new building, casting the nest, right? So that is it. Then he says, I said, this is beautiful. And he says, Pastor, it's just a dream. And I said, yes, you are right, because dreams come to pass. There is a man called Joseph. He had a dream. And there were some interruptions in the process, but the dream still came to pass. So I believe that that dream, Pastor, will come to pass. So don't look at where will the money come from. No, look at the fact that where did the money for this come from in the first place? The same God who has done it before will do it again. Amen? I'm a living testimony. We have a church building. And I tell you what, Pastor Andrew and Pastor Virginia have been there many times when we were looking to buy our own building, I went to a real estate agent and I said, look, I'm looking for a building. This man looked at me and said, who sent you? I said, no, I'm the pastor of the church. I'm looking for a building. The thing is this. The way I was dressed in jeans and sneakers and a t-shirt. And they said, what's your name, sir? I said, who am I speaking to? I said, Friday. He says, today is Monday, mate. What's your name? So even the name was a problem. So now it's a combination of, number one, my race. I am black and beautiful, okay? So, all right. Others call it dark and lovely. So you can choose what to use. All right, black and beautiful, dark and lovely. Take your pick. I will receive any one of those. But, you know, everything did not point to the fact that I could buy a building. So they said, who sent you? I'm like, it's me, the pastor. I'm looking for a building. And, then they said, so do you have any money? Do you have any deposits? And so I said, yeah, we have raised something small. And when we are talking, we are standing by the door. He won't even let me in because he's suspicious, you know? So I'm like, yeah, we have raised a little bit of money. How much money? I said, by the grace of God, we have $1 million, which we raised as a deposit. Then he says, sir, you may come in, please. And do you want coffee, tea, or what? I said, keep your everything. Because now I'm upset, you know? So suddenly the 1 million upgraded me, you know? It was the sir, you know? And it's okay. We go through that. Some of you face these things. But here's the good news. God is faithful. And so now it became an issue of the bank. Talking to the banks now, you know, to get the other. Because the building was 2 million. So we need to borrow another $1 million. So they said, okay, we can give you, but you need to pay it off in 15 years because you are a church. And in church, people come and go as they choose. When they are happy, they'll come. When they are moody, they don't come. You see what I mean? Church is just church. You understand? If you support the Blues, like me in Oakland, and then you know the results from yesterday in Wellington when the Hurricanes did their thing. I'm not even going to church. There are people that have, at least it doesn't happen here. At El Shaddai Worship Center, it happens. When those that really support the Crusaders, when the Crusaders lose, they feel demoralized to go to church. So they said, you have to pay in 15 years. And then after 15 years, if you don't, we take the church. And now I'm like, God, offering time, blessing time. And when you look at the numbers, you're like, are we going to manage this in 15 years? It is discouraging because pastors have faith, but we are human beings. We all shop from the same countdown and pack and save. We all put petrol from BP and Mobil and Z. So our currency is exactly the same. So we get affected. But here's the breaking news. Within 7 years, we paid off the building. Completely. So now we are in a debt-free building. And the same people, that gentleman who said, who sent you, one day came to the office and said, we have a group that wants to hire your place. Is it available? I said, who sent you? Yeah, you know. So my encouragement to you is that the vision for that building will come to pass. I don't take no for answers, you know that. Unless God says no. But just any hindrance, I don't take it. If God says it, I believe it, that settles it. So that building must come to pass. You see, the children that came here, they'll get married in that building. It won't be here. No. We'll prevent them. For early marriages, we come against them. But they will get married in that new building. And I saw them here. I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. They were so serious. You know, especially your boys are such a blessing. Watch the space. Those are men of God. Yeah, they'll be unstoppable as far as preaching the gospel is concerned. Because I don't get to see many kids who are that serious. The two of them came with Bibles. Don't tell anybody. In our church, they'll come with iPads. All right? They'll come with iPads or cell phone. You know, so when the Sunday school teacher is teaching, they have to say, switch off those games, please. So now we tell them, leave all your gadgets in one place. Just go there with your notebook. These ones came with Bibles. I'm like, what? This is something. You know, this is a place to call home. I believe this is a place where Jesus Christ is Lord. So watch the space. But my point is that dream has to come to pass. Because it is not from man, it is from God. So my point number one is that God's word shall never return void. Amen? Now, if you don't understand that, it's in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 verse 11, I read it. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. He says, so shall my word be. How is it going to be? It shall not return void. Amen? So, whatever position you are in right now, whatever situation you are in, I want you to know that you are not stuck. Say amen. I want you to know that you are not sinking. You are not finished yet. You will cross over to the other side. So, number two, what does the other side mean for you? The other side simply means something that God has in store for you. It is the fulfillment of God's promise over your life. So for you as a church, the other side is moving from here to that new building. For some of you, your other side is getting your permanent residence. For some of you, your other side is having an approval of that citizenship application. For somebody else who is single and trusting God to get married, your other side might just be getting married. Might be receiving that one text which says, finally, I'm serious. It is simply moving from where you are to where God intends you to be. That is your other side. So, you know, ask yourself, where is my other side? For some of you, it is to grow in your area of gifting. For some of you, it is to see God using you mightily. That's your other side. So everybody here has an other side. Point number three is that obedience does not prevent the storms. You see, when Jesus Christ tells the disciples, come on guys, get into the boat, let us cross over to the other side, they all obeyed. They even doubting Thomas obeyed and got on the boat. But the fact that they obeyed did not mean that they will not meet the storms. The reason I'm sharing this point is because now and then, as believers, we can go through trials and tribulations. And we begin to ask God, where have I disobeyed you? Or perhaps it may not be you. It may be people. It may be friends. Do you remember a man by the name of Job? Job 1, I think it's verse number 1. It says, in the land of Uz, there was a man whose name was Job. in whom there was no guile, in whom there was no evil. He says he was a righteous man, and in him there was no sin. How many have a CV like that? How many have such a resume? How many have such a testimony? There was a man in Green Bay whose name was, or a woman whose name was, put your name there, and in him there was no sin. Even God, I mean the devil who is a liar, will look at you and say, liar. You know, the truth is that Job was a different man. But guess what? When he went through problems, the Bible says his friends turned against him and said, brother, how can you be going through this except you have sinned? Job, just say the truth and shame the devil. You must have sinned. Because how can you go through all these tragedies? You must have sinned. Tell us the truth, brother. Listen, there are people who always tell you like that. But I want you to understand, the fact that you are going through a storm doesn't mean you have sinned. It doesn't mean you have disobeyed God. Some storms come out of your own disobedience, but some storms come just because they have to come. But the truth is that when God allows it, he'll give you the grace to go through it. So the disciples were not in rebellion. They were not outside God's will. They were not running away from God like Jonah. They were right in the will of God. They obeyed Jesus Christ when he said, let us go over to the other side. But they found themselves in a storm. Verse number 37 says, there arose a great wind. It's not a small one, eh? A great windstorm. You know what this teaches us? You can be in the will of God and still face the storm. And all God's people say, amen. Yeah. You can be obedient to God and still face opposition. I can tell you as a pastor, you know, that Pastor Andrew, I'm sure, will tell you the same. All the pastors that are here, Pastor Daz and Pastor Jamie, they will tell you the truth, that there are times when you have obeyed God and still come against opposition. And then you wonder, why? Just why? Well, let me encourage you, somebody here, encourage someone. Some opposition might simply mean that God is positioning you for a new position. The enemy does not waste his bullets on dummies. All right? Now, if you watch any sport, whether it's soccer or rugby, the person who is marked is the one carrying the ball. That's the person who is tackled. If somebody is just running on their own, they're not carrying a ball, and somebody goes and tackles them, they deserve a red card. A red card and a mental assessment. Because you only tackle the one carrying the ball. So the encouragement is that if you experience some tackles in your life as a Christian, guess what? You are carrying the ball. There's something you are doing well. So opposition means that you are headed for a new position. The devil doesn't fight what is not going nowhere. The storm is often a proof that you are near your purpose. Be encouraged. Amen? Because, see, the storm did not show up when they were just standing on the shore. There was no storm there. But the moment Jesus says, now let's cross over to the other side, the storm showed up. Why? Because the enemy knew very well what was on the other side. So the reason why you face opposition from progressing is because the devil knows what is on the other side. Do you know what was on the other side? What was on the other side actually, you go to Mark chapter, this is Mark chapter number 4. So in Mark chapter 5, you find a man who was a demoniac. He was full of demons. Guess where he was? On the other side. So that storm was to prevent them from crossing over to the other side. On the other side was deliverance. On the other side was breakthrough. On the other side was kingdom impact. So I want you to know that God has the other side for you. And the enemy will try and stop you by all means. But the good news this morning is that you will cross over. In the mighty name of Jesus. So the storms are not a punishment. They are actually a proof of progress. Galatians chapter number 6 verse 9. You know it very well. It says, do not give up, for in due season you shall reap if you do not faint. There's always a due season. God does all things well in the fullness of his time. So don't faint, don't quit, don't turn back. You are closer than you think. Point number 4. The Bible says in verse number 38, but Jesus was in the den asleep on a pillow. Wow, I love that. So he was at the back of the boat asleep on a pillow. And then they rudely interrupted him. They said, Master, in fact, one version says they accused him of negligence when they said to him, Master, honestly, don't you care that we are perishing? In other words, they are saying, what kind of a leader are you? You told us to get in the boat and cross over to the other side. And now there's this storm. And you are sleeping? When the boat is sinking, you are sleeping? What type of a leader are you? And you call yourself Jesus. Hey, they said all sorts of things. They alleged that he was not caring. But here's my point. Jesus may be silent, but the good news is he's still in the boat with you. He may seem silent, but the fact that you think he's silent doesn't mean that he's not working behind the scenes. He is still as powerful as ever. The fact that he was sleeping on the pillow and, you know, he didn't seemingly care bothered the disciples. Because nothing feels worse than going through a storm and it seems as though God is not caring. I don't know whether you've been there, but I have. Where you are going through something and you are like, God, I am your servant. Why should this happen to me? Why does it look like you don't even care? But God always brings an assurance of the fact that even though he may seem silent, he is actually not silent. He is working behind the scenes. Because if he was really silent and let go of you to be by yourself, you'd have been finished. You'd have perished completely. So I loved the songs we sang this morning, is that God is still watching over us. God is still your refuge. God is still your strength. Amen? The fact that Jesus was sleeping did not mean that Jesus was negligent. It just means that Jesus was simply saying, I am not moved by the storm because I am still the master of the wind. He did not panic. When everybody else was panicking, Jesus still knew who was the final authority. There's a song we sing. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Amen. We might sing it maybe at the end. You know? It says, Jehovah tent. Yeah. There are other people who say, Jehovah. One man was screaming, Jehovah tent, my wife. I said, yeah, that one also. All right. But we don't want any counseling sessions after that. But listen, if Jesus is in your boat, you may get wet, but you will not die. You will not drown. Amen? It doesn't matter how much water comes in. The truth is that you are not going to drown. Because when he said, let us cross over to the other side, he meant it. Listen, God always means what he says, and he says what he means. So there's no way he could have said, let's go over to the other side, and then suddenly, oh, we are drowning. Oh, Lord, we are drowning. No. When he says, let's go over to the other side, he knew what was on the other side. We are going over. Whatever we meet on the way, no problem. We're going over. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 2, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength. Yeesh. Our ever-present helper in times of need. Therefore, we will not fear. God is neither nervous, nor is he scrambling for a solution. He is God. He is sovereign. When he seems silent, he is still sovereign. Sovereign means he is in charge and in control. Number 5 is that fear robs you of your faith and causes you to forget the promise. God has given you a promise. For some of you, you know the promise God has given you. Maybe it's Jeremiah 29 verse 11. He says, for I know the plans I have for you. Hey, they are plans to prosper you. And not to harm you. They are to give you a hope and a future. That's a promise for you. But when you are in trouble, you forget. You begin to say, I'm struggling. I don't know. Poverty is just following me everywhere. Listen, God says, I know the plans I have for you. You may not even know them yourself, for God's sake. But God says, I know the plans I have for you. So what's the point? Fear will always rob you of faith and it will cause you to forget God's promises. Mark chapter 4 verse 38. Listen to what they said. Master, carest thou not that we perish? The King James Version says. Master, don't you care that we are perishing? When I was reading this verse, I was saying, well, thank God that at least they still recognized him as master. That's good enough. They still recognized him as master. But they alleged he's not caring. Fear made them question his love. Fear made them question his care. It made them forget his promise. When he says, let us cross over to the other side. And when they were afraid because of the storms, they forgot. So fear will always cause you to actually forget the promises of God. So I'm here to encourage you this morning, fear not. Believe what he has said in his word. Amen? Because Jesus has already said, we are crossing over. But the storms were loud. Eh? But I'm glad that God's voice is louder. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, you know it. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of love, the spirit of power, the spirit of sound mind in Jesus' name. Amen. Then as we bring this to a close, I want you to get to point number six. Point number six, the Bible says, Jesus stood and spoke to the storm and said, in verse number 39, Mark 4 verse 39, he says, peace, be still. Here's my point. Jesus will speak peace in the midst of chaos. In the midst of the storm, Jesus still speaks peace. Now, there's something that I see here. The Bible says the disciples went to him at the back of the boat where he was sleeping by the pillow. I want to imagine that they would have rudely interrupted him. They shook him and says, Master, don't you care that we perish? Now, I'm just thinking, if you are sleeping comfortably, you're in sound sleep, and somebody comes and shakes you and says, hey, wake up, don't you care that we are perishing? What would be your response? You know, don't speak Christianese. You know what Christianese is? It says, oh, hallelujah, it is well, praise the Lord. Jesus is in control. I think if I am sleeping and then you rudely interrupt me like that, I'll just say, blood of Jesus. You know, I won't be like, nice, like, hey, you know, it's all right, hallelujah. Look, I'm just coming out of sleep. Whatever I was dreaming is what I'll say, you know. You see what I mean? So I'll respond to my interrupters. If Pastor Jamie wakes me up, and say, at least I'll say, Pastor Jamie, what's your problem? Come on. I'll address him. Why? Because he's my interrupter. He's the one who has interrupted me. Does that make sense? The reason I'm building this case is I want you to know who Jesus addresses. Jesus does not address the disciples. Eh? He addresses the storm. Jesus addresses the storm. He does not address the disciples. He actually says, and he arose. From sleeping, right? He arose and said to the storm, peace, be still. Anybody who is married here, when you have a challenge, address the storm, not the person. Yeah. Pastor says, stay there. I'm repeating, all right? Whatever you come across, don't address that person. You've got to address the powers behind. Do you remember when Jesus Christ turns to Peter and says, get thee behind, Satan? And then Peter is like, me, your favorite disciple. Today I've become Satan. No, the spirit that was behaving at that time in Peter was demonic. And Jesus addressed it. So in the same vein, Jesus does not address the disciples first. He actually addresses the storm and says, peace be still. After he addresses the storm, that's when he goes to the disciples and says, now, why are you so fearful? What's your problem, guys? He has already dealt with the storm. So maybe first things first. And you find that when you deal with the storm, when you deal with the principalities behind, it becomes easier to address the person. Amen? So when you are having a challenge there, pray for them. Say, in the name of Jesus, I pray, bless my husband, cover him under the blood of Jesus, touch his heart, speak to him, convict him. I command that he is a God-fearing man. I command that he is blessed and highly favored. I pray the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding to reign upon him in private. And every demonic force that is influencing him to behave funny, I bind it in Jesus' name. You have addressed the storm. Then you go to him and say, hello, my love. Do you realize that what you did was wrong? You break down and start crying, oh Lord, forgive me. Guess what? You addressed the storm. You dealt with the demonic forces. Then the rest will fall in place. Isn't that good? So Jesus did not fight the storm with the sword, or he did not wrestle with it. He just says, you know what? Peace be still. One word from Jesus can calm what is terrorizing you. Psalm 107 verse 29, he says, he calms the storm so that its waves are still. This is in the psalm, people. He says, he calms the storm so that its waves are still. So always remember that your breakthrough is for a bigger cause. Because when they crossed over to the other side, then they met this person who was demon-possessed, and they cast out the demons. So what was the point for this whole story? The point is this. In every storm, God wants to be glorified. Because in verse 41, the Bible says, and they said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and storms obey him? Guess who they are asking about? It's Jesus. And guess who is asking? The disciples. They have been with Jesus for quite a while. And now they're saying, hey, guys, what manner of man is this? They're asking about the same Jesus they have walked with. Well, here's the breaking news. Some storms come so that you can know Jesus in a deeper dimension. They come so that you can have a deeper understanding of Jesus. Because they just knew him as the healer who could heal the sick. But at this time, they realized that, hey, even the winds and the storms obey him. They discovered a totally new dimension of Jesus. Some revelations of who Jesus is will only come when you go through the storm. So whatever storm, whatever hindrance you may be going through now, I want you to know that God wants you to know him at a deeper level, in a deeper dimension. Amen? Listen, if I stretch this beyond this, I'll be disobeying God. I think you've heard what God is saying to us, is that you will cross over to the other side. Can we rise on our feet? Hallelujah.